This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Pony Stampede Podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffeditz. This Monday afternoon, let's take one final look at Friday night's win against Navy and put that one to bed. I think the biggest thing is SMU won. I know there's a little bit of talk about how and some things that happened during the game that can be picked on or picked apart, but I think the biggest thing coming into this game, and everybody pretty much knew it, was win. I don't know that there was much caring about how SMU won or how good they looked doing it. They just needed to win, and that's what they came out and did. And I think they did it in a fashion that showed a little bit of grit and showed a little bit of tenacity against a good Navy team. Look, this is not the Navy team of years past. They had a really good game against Tulsa coming into it, so they've shown that they can do what they've done in the past. They haven't shown the consistency to do it, but that's still not a bad Navy football team that certainly doesn't quit, and they showed it. I think one of my biggest things is SMU first half offense does continue to just struggle just enough to keep games closer than it really should be. To only have 13 points in the first half, I think was again disappointing the way that they played most of the first half. I think having to settle for the one field goal. The other field goal was just a really nice nice long career high kick for the freshman Colin Rogers. I think the other one probably should have been a touchdown. I think you should have been sitting at at least 17 nothing when Navy scores that touchdown at the end of the first half. Again, you'd like to finish the first half stronger and at least hold them to a field goal there, maybe, or even nothing at all if possible, depending on how Navy plays it. But giving up the 7 there was tough, especially when you only had 13. And now you're going in to halftime only up one score with Navy getting the ball to start the second half. It's a familiar story. It's exactly what happened against UCF the week before, except this time the defense comes out and gets a 3-and-out stop. Forces the punt. SMU gets the ball back, but wait, they didn't. By letter of the law, that is the right call. The play with an inadvertent whistle, a penalty is enforced the way it would be enforced. Doesn't make a ton of sense to enforce a penalty during a play that never happened. But it was just a couple pieces of bad timing and bad luck. The fact that they ruled that the holding occurred before the ball was kicked, which is why it would be from the original line of scrimmage as opposed to a 10-yard penalty after SMU would have gotten the ball, in which case I do not believe the penalty would have ended up being enforced because it would have been enforced after the play in the play that didn't happen. Because it happened during a play that didn't happen, it was enforced. And of course, they get a big run right after that, score a touchdown 3 plays after that, and take the lead. I think it's where you saw a little bit from Tanner Mordecai to say, nope, not again, not this time. We've seen this movie. We didn't like this movie. We're not watching it again. Because that next drive that he just came out, just look at the drive. Kickoff is returned to the 31-yard line. Tanner throws a 9-yard pass to Rasheed, and then it's his 60-yard touchdown run. That was just a great play. I think everyone in the world Thought TJ McDaniel had that ball. Just a great job of selling the fake, a great job of pulling it on the read, where he obviously saw a hole that didn't end until he got to the end zone, and then showed off a little bit of that athletic ability that I think has maybe been questioned or not known. But, I mean, he does have the ability to run the ball. It might not be to where it gets designed as much as it would be if, say, a Preston Stone was taking SMU snaps, but he can give you something like that a game. You don't want him to be your leading rusher in the game. That's something we'll get to in a minute. But, you know, I think that was just a statement by Tanner that was, nope, we're getting this lead right back. We're not living that same story. Then you get the defense coming through. I've watched the replay a few times. I still don't know how exactly the fumble happened. I don't know if it wasn't a great exchange, but man, Jaden Jones just bear hugs the guy and the ball's on the turf. Nick Roberts, who I think has continued to have a really good season, falls on it. Next thing you know, SMU's in the end zone again. You know, 26 yard, a short field, you know, that's what's been missing these last couple games, is just that quick turnover, a short field that makes things easy on the offense from the defense. I think the defense has played really well, for most of the last few games, but not turning the ball over, not forcing those turnovers, just hasn't given things easy necessarily to the offense. That's what they did right there. They gave it easy. Tanner almost had his second rushing touchdown of the game. TJ McDaniel finishes it up. And all of a sudden, it's now a 12-point game. There's a little bit of that. And then, boom, just kind of right back to it. A nice defensive stand with some nice work. You know, again, the defense just kind of got after them, especially when the game was in the balance. They force the punt, and then it's a two-play drive. You get the really nice 47-yard pass to Mucci, which I think is the style of play they think Mucci can run right now and what they want him to run. I would still like to get him more involved, especially with some of these injuries and everything, because I think he has the talent. But if you're going to kind of maybe get one or two big plays out of him, good plays out of him, it's nice that one of them goes for 47. Then welcome back Jordan Curley, showing what he can do. Is Tanner just kind of slings it out to him, and he tiptoe dances, sprints down the sideline for the touchdown. All of a sudden, it's a 19-point game, and you're feeling pretty good going into the fourth quarter. You know, they trade the touchdowns. You know, you get the I really liked it, the Roderick Daniels touchdown. You know, for a guy who's been through as much as he has the last couple of weeks of losing his father, of maybe making a quick rash decision of wanting to be somewhere else for whatever reason, when all that's going on, to then, you know, kind of be man enough to say, nope, I made a quick reaction that probably wasn't the best decision. I'd like to stay. And then for him to be rewarded for that with a nice play. And again, showing what he can do. It was another one of those plays, kind of got it to him in space, and he made a couple defenders miss, stayed on his feet, and got into the end zone. So it's 40-20 with 8.5 left. Game over. Celebrate. Now, I know Navy scored two more touchdowns, one with 2:30 left, one with 9 seconds left. Ends up only being a 6-point win. I don't care. I'm just going to say that. I do not care. They won the game. That's what mattered. When you play Navy, I think, and as good as the defense looked through most of it, you know, I mean, they're going to break a play here or there. That's just what they're built to do. Well, no, they're going to make a play here or there just because that's what's going to happen. What they're built to do is what they did in those last two drives, which is take a completely worn down defense and go for 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards, pop an 8 yarder, then 3 yards, then 1 yard, then 2 yards, then 6 yards. And that's kind of what they were able to do. And just wear the defense down. They ran 101 plays offensively. They were on the field for over 40 minutes offensively. That means the defense lined up against 101 plays and was on the field for 40 minutes. If the game isn't maybe already in hand, are some things maybe done differently, played differently? Probably. Both offensively and defensively. You know, do you not... I mean, what, after Navy scored that touchdown, you get minus 4 yards, minus 3 yards, 3 yards, and you punt on 4th and 14, and you only took 1:08 off the clock there between those touchdowns. Excuse me. If it's a closer game, do you maybe run a little bit more of your style offense to try and get a first down, force those timeouts, force the clock to bleed a little bit? Probably. You know, hindsight's 20/20, and we'll never know. I don't necessarily disagree with what happened. You know, I think their last touchdown, look, if you felt good about SMU and Stone getting that last second touchdown at UCF, you can't really be upset about Navy going for that touchdown with 9 seconds left. You just kind of have to take it for what you'll take it for a 60-minute game. SMU wins. That's what matters. There are a few nuts and bolts that we will get into in just a minute after this quick break.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pony Stampede podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffeditz. Let's break down a couple things good and a couple things bad from this Navy game before we put it to bed and really get into Cincinnati week. A quick look at red zone offense. SMU goes 2 of 2, touchdown and a field goal. Again, I feel like that should have been 2 touchdowns. It obviously didn't hurt them. Getting a red zone touchdown was nice. But even that, you know, once Tanner had that ball really first and goal from the half-yard line, maybe even closer, you get a fumbled snap, backs you up a little bit, you get a, you know, short run that doesn't get into the end zone, and then finally TJ pushes it in. There's still some red zone stuff there that I would like to look a lot better. But at the end of the day, they got a result. They got the touchdown that they needed right there, really when they needed it. And that was nice to see. Rushing the ball. Running the ball has been an issue all season. it can be taken 20 different ways, you know, because, I mean, you can look at it and you can say, well, SMU averaged 5 yards a carry. Well, sure, but your starting running back, who was TJ McDaniel in this game, had 4 attempts for no yards. You know, Kamar Wheaton, who's this 5-star that everybody's kind of been waiting to be unleashed, only carries the ball 3 times for 5 yards, and that was with a 4-yard carry. Want to give a ton of credit, Tyler Levine. I mean, he's a guy that has been completely out of the rotation for the last few weeks. You know, he gets put in there, 6 carries, 28 yards, had that 11-yard run. You know, he's a guy that you see at practice, he's working hard. He's on special teams. You know, he does a lot of things. And so that was just kind of nice to see from a, I like the way that guy works. Nice to see him rewarded a little bit. And then Tanner's your leading rusher at quarterback with 74 yards on 6 carries and the touchdown. This is not a team or quarterback that you want your quarterback leading you in rushing. You know, I know Trey Siggers has been dealing with injuries. Obviously, he was out completely. We still never got really a full answer on what kept Velton Gardner out of the game. He was fully dressed. He went through warm-ups anytime, and he stayed dressed through the game, but he never seemed to have his helmet with him, so it never seemed like he was actually going to get into the game. That's something we'll try and keep an eye on this week. My biggest thing is, if you don't have Trey and you don't have Velton, you've got to get Kamar involved more. I think what TJ has done coming back from that injury, the way he's come back from that injury, the fact that he's able to do much of anything at all on the football field is impressive. I just talked about how much I like Levine, but that can't be your 1-2 punch in this league at running back. You've got to have something else there, and we'll see what that ends up being this week. I thought Velton was coming off a really good first half against UCF, and then obviously doesn't play this past week. I do also think there are some offensive line issues. Look, the offensive line wasn't necessarily a strong suit coming into the season. You then add in that the last 2 weeks you've taken Jalen Thomas and you've thrown him in at right tackle to replace Owen Condon. Owen comes back this week. Now you have to throw him at left tackle to replace Marcus Bryant. You know, that doesn't allow a lot of things to stay the same at the point of attack where you're trying to run block and protect your passer and do all of those things. I don't know if any of those injury issues will force any kind of movement on the line even when everybody is healthy. You know, I don't know if there's a look that they look at any film and say, man, when JT was at right tackle, we were really able to do A, B, and C. Maybe that's something we look at moving forward. Or with so-and-so at, you know, filling in for JT at guard, man, he really looked good there. Does that then make our best five with him there? You know, there's a lot of moving parts in a position where you don't really want there to be. You want that stability. I mean, I think anytime you watch a game on Sunday, you know, anytime they talk about how many different offensive starting lines a team has, you can pretty much bet their record's going to be under 500. And anytime they're talking about the consistency of offensive line, you can probably bet they've got a pretty good record. So I just like, in those two spots, I just like to see them kind of have a running back that they either shows them that he can handle being kind of a feature back type guy, or that they just do it and they say, look, we need a feature type guy. Today it's going to be you. We're going to give you the lion's share of the carries, and we're going to have to just ride you a little bit. I'd like to see Kamar get more involved. At this point of the season, I would like to think that he's healthy enough. I'd like to think that he knows at least enough plays in the playbook to give him a drive or two, and just let some of that talent and God-given ability stand out there a little bit. And we'll see. We'll see what happens from there. I will say real quick, you know, SMU ran 48 plays, so when you do also talk about the rushing attack, I mean, you had 21 carries for 105 yards. That's well below what they've done carry-wise this season. I think that could maybe be the game that breaks Tanner Mordecai out of this little, and I don't even really want to call it a slump because he hasn't played bad, but maybe kind of breaks him out of the fog a little bit and maybe gives him something moving forward, because it was just a night where he did a lot of things well. He did a lot of things well within the confines of a given play, and he did a lot of things well with some decision-making and making some things happen. You know what? I mean, 20 receptions to 9 different receivers, and a couple of those, you know, you have the Teddy Knox little inside toss jet flip that he slips and falls and loses 3 yards on in there too. But, I mean, you look at what he's able to do. Goffney, 4 for 116. Rasheed, 3 for 74. Curley, 3 for 62. Dixon, 2 for 44. I mean, you're looking at guys that there's some depth there. They're now showing they can do it in a game. That might be something that really pushes this a little bit. I think the fact that Goffney had the game that he did out of that slot spot shows that he can fill that gap that's left by Jake Bailey. Because, man, after that, after Jake Bailey's first real game where you just saw him take off, and then for him to be hurt, you really felt like, man, what are they going to do there? Well, I think Dylan Goffney has said, I got you. Again, Navy's defense isn't the best SMU will play all year, but what they do is they limit your number of plays, and so to do that with maybe half the plays that you've been running still shows an ability to do some of those things. I mentioned his long field goal. Colin Rogers continues to be a nice bright spot. I don't think there's ever been a time where I've been this unfazed by point afters and mid-range field goal kicking. Where you just kind of felt like he's going to go out there and get the job done. And there have been some years recently where each point after is an adventure. And I think it says a lot that he's done a really nice job of making that just kind of an afterthought, which point afters should be. I know special teams brought up on the message board to bring up a couple different things. I think mostly people liked the fact that kickoffs were going through the back of the end zone. Again, I don't know if they were that much deeper than they've been in previous weeks. Navy's certainly a team that's not going to take the risk of running a ball out from 5 to 8 yards deep that a TCU or UCF might take a chance on. Like they have. But it was good to see Hall consistently get those to the back of the end zone. Bujewski didn't have a punt inside the 20, but he did have a 54-yarder and his, averaged 47.3. I think those have been strong points. And I think this was just kind of the game SMU needed to just get back on track, to just not, there's not that little cloud of 3 straight losses hanging over their head. I think they handled themselves pretty well through that losing streak. I think they probably would have continued to handle it well. I think it's really, really good that we don't have to see what this team would look like after 4 straight losses going into the Cincinnati game. But I think overall, I think you have to feel like you got what you wanted to get out of the Navy game. And mostly, at the end of the day, number one was get a win. And that's what this group did. They did it with some fight and some tenacity. So a quick shout again to strength and conditioning coach Sean Griswold. It was his 150th career win as a head strength and conditioning coach. And you know, I think on the defensive side, you saw some of those things that he made them go through this summer, both physically and mentally, that I think kind of shined through and helped the defense really stand up tall when it needed to. And then we'll see about this weekend. It's homecoming, 11 a.m. kickoff. It is what it is. You know, I think if you asked anybody in the SMU administration, they would say they'd prefer a later kickoff for homecoming, so the parade's not at 8 a.m. That's not their call. The people at ESPN make those decisions, and they threw it at 11. So you just got to show up and play. Hopefully can take some good things from this game. Hopefully can maybe look at some things that USF did against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. Because, yes, of course, SMU's playing a team that had a week off to prepare, which does seem a little bit like a theme this week. But look at Vegas. This game opens up as a 3-point game in the odds. And that's a Cincinnati team that has just dominated the last two meetings. They see it as a 3-point game. We'll get into how I see it and some of the nuts and bolts of it all later this week. But enjoy the win. You know, there's always going to be stuff to nitpick. Enjoy the win. The Mustangs are now 1-1 in conference. They're 3-3 overall. And number 21 Cincinnati comes to Ford Stadium 11 a.m. Saturday. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. Be sure to subscribe to 24/7 and PonyStampede.com. Get in on the conversation. New thoughts, new ideas are always welcome on the board. Things have a chance to get a little testy. There's a little back and forth every now and again that gets going a little bit, but for the most part, everybody's there because they want this team and this program and the school to do well, and there are just a couple different ways people see that happening, but that's fun. So get in on that, join the conversation, stay up to date with stories that are coming throughout the week, message boards, game threads, everything. You won't want to miss it for the rest of the season. So make sure you've got your subscription to 24/7 Sports and Pony Stampede up to date, and we'll see you on the message boards. Bye.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.